This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Now, plenty to talk about, although some of the big stories are yet to come. We've got the latest NVIDIA earnings this evening, my time. We're already seeing the stock market at all-time highs. The S&P is up at its all-time high at the moment. We have an AI rally as well. So these NVIDIA earnings to come are all part of that big feel at the moment, aren't they?
That's right, Johnny. I mean, this is when it comes to main event for the AI revolution, AI rally in stocks, whatever you'd like to call it. This is definitely kind of the main event. This is the Super Bowl, as we would call it in the US. This is a really important earnings report because you've got stocks back to their highs, even though we've had a little bit of wobbliness in sticky inflation data, some slowing in the jobs market, all the macro stuff that, of course, we talk about. But then you have this magical, mystical force in markets, which is the excitement around AI and what it can do for efficiency, for companies, and for, you know, productivity across an economy. There's all this hype and euphoria and excitement around the AI trade, and it's all sort of centered and built around NVIDIA. Long story short with NVIDIA earnings, if they guide for plenty of demand for their semiconductor products, that is a good thing to the sake of the AI rally, right? Again, if you look across the stock market, look at like the Russell, which is the 2000 index, you know, smaller cap companies, these are not the big tech companies. And you compare that over the last few years with the NASDAQ, which is heavily focused around tech stocks and AI. The comparative difference there is the NASDAQ has just significantly outperformed. And it's largely because of the big names at the top, which are heavily centered around AI, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, all these companies that are, you know, on the cutting edge and using AI today. I mean, one of the easiest examples would be Meta, right? We're all addicted to scrolling through, you know, Instagram and Facebook and all these things, and they're leveraging AI as we speak to make a more profitable advertising space. So as we look to NVIDIA earnings, that to me is the catalyst that could either continue the sake of the rally or discontinue or reverse the rally on something like the NASDAQ, which is so tech-centric. Again, the outperformance has largely been around AI. So if it's going to continue, we want to see huge forward-looking demand. That's what it's all about. Yes, NVIDIA earnings are definitely going to be good. There is no question that they are going to have good overall growth on a year-over-year basis compared to most markets, right? That's not really the question. The question is, first, can they actually beat the expectations that are high and set on them for tonight's earnings? And maybe more importantly, is projected earnings for the future, over the next year, what does their demand pipeline look like? Are companies forking over tons of money to buy these semiconductor products like never before, or are they slowing their roll a little bit? That tells you a lot about the appetite for semiconductors, the ROI on chips and manufacturing of these things. And it's critical to the stock market rally that we've seen this year.
Now, last Friday, of course, we were talking about Jay Powell's speech at Jackson Hole, which was a bit more dovish than we had expected. And it's been interesting to see how the bond market has moved since that speech.
Yeah, exactly, Johnny. I think it was really an interesting thing. When we heard from Powell, it came across as pretty dovish, right? The stock market rallied off of the announcement from Powell. I mean, we're sitting at all-time highs. So the response has been largely positive in the equities market, but something is basically strewing under the kind of surface here when it comes to the dollar and yields. The dollar, as of this morning, I mean, it's come back a little bit since then, but Johnny, I find it very interesting that the dollar has completely erased or recaptured, I should say, all of its losses from the Fed Powell speech. And at the same time, when the Fed signals historically that we are to see likely some rate cuts, historically speaking, what happens to the bond market? Well, it's pretty straightforward. Most of the time, if the bond market agrees, and most of the time they do agree with the Fed chair, you see yields start to decline. You see the 2-year yield, the 10-year yield, the 20 and 30-year yield, which is something that we do here in the US, 30-year mortgages, right? That's what matters to consumers and to businesses, is these longer term duration. Well, the reason I'm trying to, or the thing that I'm trying to get to here, is that yields have not shot lower or followed through to the downside like you might expect if the bond market truly thinks rate cuts are coming and they're going to be sustainable. What this might suggest, and again, the bond market is an inherently difficult market to read because there's many reasons that it goes up and down. But one thing that we need to be careful here about is that you may be seeing yields back higher and reversing course because the bond market says there's still risk to inflation and we're not buying US Treasury bonds if we think there's going to be sustained inflation. Remember that for bond investors, and this matters significantly to currency traders, for those listening who focus on euro dollar or Aussie dollar, these things matter a lot to currencies because if the yield offered on US Treasuries is sort of, you know, the bond investors are demanding more yield, that means they don't truly believe that inflation is done and that inflation could still stay sticky, be problematic, and could ultimately lead to the Fed doing what they did post the 70s, which is they cut interest rates a little bit, inflation went back up, and they had to hike them again. And that is a concern to investors in the equities world, to the currencies world, of course, and to bond market investors as well. So the reason I bring this up, thing I flagged this in our notes before the show, is basically if the bond market does not cooperate with what the Fed chair seems to be directing or pointing towards, at the end of the day, long duration yields like the 20 and 30 year yields are not set by the Fed. They're set by the market and their interpretation of what inflation and you know, the economy is set to be. Those are things that the Fed can't control. And so if the Fed is signaling for rate cuts, but the bond market says not so fast, yields on the longer duration of the curve can remain high, sticky, and problematic for you know, for people looking to get mortgage rates. So even if the Fed starts to cut rates, in September of last year, we saw something kind of interesting too, Johnny. We saw the Fed cut by 50 basis points, and the 10-year yield, historically, that's where you say, okay, that should be going down for a little while, right? Nope, it went up. It U-turned on the announcement that the Fed is cutting interest rates. So that is the concern, is that yields don't seem to necessarily, on the longer term duration, be agreeing with the potential rate cuts that we're going to see this year. So very, very interesting story to keep an eye on.
And the bond markets and the Fed will certainly keep their eye on Friday's PCE numbers, which of course is their preferred choice in terms of inflation, as far as the Fed is concerned. And that could be quite crucial, couldn't it?
Definitely. On Thursday, we get preliminary GDP numbers and unemployment claims numbers, which will also be really important to add into the mix. But that Friday number, that PCE number, is the third and final major piece of inflation data that we're going to get this month, right? We got the CPI, which was mixed. We got the PPI, which was a little higher than anticipated, actually quite higher than expected. And now we get the core PCE number, which could either settle the score one way or the other as to how inflation is looking. So the Fed has also called core PCE one of their preferred measurements of inflation as it looks closely at the consumer's prices. So definitely an important figure this week is to watch that number. And I do think that, again, if inflation remains sticky, the bond market may not necessarily cooperate on the idea that rate cuts are appropriate. They may actually disagree. And I often make the equivalent, Johnny, that the bond market is almost like the fourth wing of government, because they do kind of keep everything at bay. They watch over what's happening in Washington, and they make a decision as to whether or not U.S. you know, debt is worth buying. So it's a really important thing that is not necessarily controlled by one person in power or even a wing of government. It's sort of like a publicly traded policymaker in some ways.
Well, we'll no doubt catch up on Friday after those PCE figures come out. It'll be fascinating to hear your take on that, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.